In a painted logo, a woman stands on a tiered pedestal. Wearing a Roman toga, she holds a torch aloft. Its brilliant light shimmers against a silver word, Columbia. More words appear. A Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Now, glimmering metal reflects a meadow on the side of a shiny red wagon that has four white-walled wheels and chrome hubcaps. Words appear, Red Wagon Entertainment. Titles appear, Columbia Pictures presents.
Once in every nighttime, someone comes around.
In association with Relativity Media.
Coming to get you.
A Red Wagon Intermedia IMF production.
That makes sleeping difficult.
RV.
Kathy. I'm coming.
Who's there?
Cassie grins at a sock puppet.
The Dickle Monster.
No.
A second puppet pops up.
That's right. Sylvester Stallone is the Tickle Monster.
I will tickle you.
What?
I'll tickle you.
What?
I'm gonna tickle you!
Tickle Daddy, help!
I'm here, Cassie. Unhand my daughter, Tickle Monster.
A middle-aged man fights his own puppeted hand.
Look over there!
Daddy, go!
A woman steps into the bedroom.
Yay!
Is she still up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just gave her a warm bath, and now she's more wide awake than I am.
Well, she won't be so sharp for a big meeting tomorrow.
The mother holds a toddler.
Night, sweetie.
Night, Mommy.
Well, if I can get Carl to sleep in the next 10 minutes, you might still have a shot tonight.
Use a mallet if you have to.
Daddy.
Yeah, baby.
I'm never gonna get married.
Why not? It's not as bad as it looks.
Because I always want to live here with you.
Well, you know, one day you're going to grow up, meet a wonderful guy, and you're going to get married. But you and I will always be best friends.
Cassie's father kisses her on the forehead.
Good night, Cassie.
Daytime, a teenager rides in an SUV behind the middle-aged man.
Dad, could you be any more of a dork?
Cassie, you know where this girl lives, or you just think you know?
Oh, I know where she lives. I just know one way to get there, and you refuse to go that way.
Because it's a stupid way.
Yes, if you consider actually getting there, stupid.
Why don't you use a navigation thing?
Because your daughter, Sacagawea, back there, doesn't know the address or the name of the street. She just knows it as the one next to the one with the fountain.
Hey, Dad, Cassie just gave you the finger.
We don't find this girl's house in the next 2 minutes.
There it is.
Okay, honey, hurry up. Go get your friend.
Sure.
Heard that.
Good.
As Cassie gets out, her preteen brother listens to headphones.
Where are they?
She just left.
Which friend is this? A nice one?
You know, you used to know all her friends. You were funny and charming.
Well, she's 15. She doesn't want me to be charming. She finds it creepy. Oh, no. It's the too nice one.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Any friend of Cassie's is always welcome. We're a little late.
The SUV speeds off. Now, party guests mingle on manicure grounds.
Remember, congratulate Todd on the Alpine Soda merger. Tell him the house looks great. Working something about his outfit, his haircut. Maybe he smells nice.
And lick his face?
No, don't touch him. Don't even shake his hand.
All right, Mr. Stupid Germophobia.
Yeah.
There they are. Oh, Bobcat.
Teabag.
Jamie.
Hi, Todd.
Bob intercepts his wife's offered hand.
Well, congratulations on Alpine Soda. Bob said you'd do it.
Yeah.
God, Jamie. My ex-wife looked as good as you, I'd still be in the middle of a horrible marriage.
Thank you, Todd. What a lovely compliment.
Oh, there's Laird.
Todd leaves the co-workers.
Laird.
So that's the young hotshot?
Yeah, Harvard MBA. We're planning to kill him.
Going in?
Cassie!
There he is. Old Laird. It would be great, you going to get me shrimp. Not joking.
Laird ducks off obediently.
Cass,
go say hi to Todd.
What for?
Because he likes you and I'll give you $20.
Can I come? I read all about him online.
Okay.
Okay.
The girls approach the preppy executive.
Hi, Mr. Mallory. Good to see you again. Oh, Cassie Monroe.
Little Cassie. God. Wow, you turned into quite the young lady.
Thank you. This is my friend Gretchen.
Hi, Gretch.
Hi. Aren't you the one who got the public school system to put Pure Vibe sodas into the schools?
That was me. Cassie's dad helped. He's the head of corporate relations, but I am El Presidente.
Wow. So you're like personally responsible for destroying the health of millions of children.
Christian.
Well, I probably wouldn't put it that way.
Obesity, diabetes, cholesterol. The fat of our youth is on your hands. Wallow in it.
Gretchen douses Todd in slimy green liquid. Bob's wife faints. As Cassie gawks, Gretchen smiles at Todd's dripping face. Bob stares. Now, the SUV breaks hard at Gretchen's house.
Thank you. I had a very nice time.
Gretchen gets out and crosses in front of the car.
Keep it real.
The SUV lurches an inch.
Don't.
Gretchen walks past obliviously. Bob pulls away. Later at home, a skull and crossbones sign reads, "Keep out." Bob knocks on it, then enters. Inside, Carl lifts weights.
Yo, home slice, can you chill on the desk jam?
You're boiling my vibe!
Respect.
Bob finds Cassie sprawled on a couch.
Cass, can we talk?
God, what?
I think, my bad. Father, evil. Forgot that.
He enters the kitchen.
How are you doing? Are you all right?
No, not really.
Well, why did you get that skin peel?
Feels like that. Cassie was so abrasive.
Oh, Bob just came in. Let me call you back. My sister.
Oh.
Jamie ends her call.
Did you talk to Cassie?
Well, yeah, I tried. Still bleeding a little bit.
Well, she didn't know Gretchen was going to do that.
No, she didn't know her friend was going to throw a vat of schmaltz on my boss.
Wine or martini?
Both, with the Prozac back.
Okay.
Remember when it used to be Daddy's home? Now nothing. We watch TV in four separate rooms, and we IM each other when dinner's ready.
Well, then let's change things. Let's start while we're in Hawaii. No laptop, no BlackBerry, no business calls. Let's really go.
No what?
And you know you're not going to see them for the rest of the summer. Pearl's got camp.
Yeah, and Cassie's got college prep in Palo Alto, I know.
That's right, and they leave the day after we get back.
It's going to be the same thing in Hawaii, you know. They're only going to call us when they need money.
Well, I'm glad we're going. And don't worry so much about work. Todd loves you. You're indispensable.
She makes martinis.
I'm afraid not. I think Laird's gonna get my job. He's younger, smarter, cheaper.
What did you say?
Nothing.
A pure vibe decal adorns Bob's laptop.
Here you go.
She brings him his drink.
To true love? Hawaii's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Daytime with Todd.
You gotta cancel Hawaii.
Why?
We had a snag in the Alpine Soda merger.
Since yesterday?
One of the brothers got seller's remorse.
Gary.
Larry.
Oh.
Gary's still for it. Show him some money, he'll quack like a duck. Larry's nervous.
Todd, if I tell my wife we're not going to Hawaii, you better bear me ass up so you have a place to park your bike.
Bob.
Todd.
Bob.
Todd.
Bob. Bob.
Mm-hmm.
This crisis actually saved your job.
Really?
After yesterday, I figured that I gotta fire you just to maintain some respect around here. But in light of this Alpine thing, I still need you.
Bless you, Todd.
I gotta run out there Friday to make a new presentation.
I can write the presentation in Hawaii and zap it to you right away.
Laird can write me a presentation. If I tell him to, he'll live in the office. He'll shower in the damn water cooler. But you've got one thing that he hasn't got.
Soul.
No, you're good in a meeting. You've got the chutzpah.
Oh.
So I want you to write that presentation here in the office, and then I need you at the meeting to put this thing over.
Yeah.
So no Hawaii.
Boulder, Colorado, Friday.
Later with his coworkers.
Just move your Hawaii dates.
I can't. The kids are booked the rest of the summer.
I don't see where you have a choice. You have to go to Boulder.
Agreed.
I just want to let you know that after the divorce, I'm coming after Jamie hard.
Bring jewelry.
Hey, if you get Jamie, can I have a lane?
You want a lane?
Better than nothing.
Trust me, it's not better. You know, Elaine is still mad at me for taking that vacation last year. She figures that's why I didn't get that promotion.
Oh, the RV trip.
RV trip?
Oh, the famous RV trip. Oh, can we see the pictures again?
Wait a minute. Nobody move. Did you rent that RV?
Later, a huge RV streaked with sporty green stripes parks in front of the Monroe house. Cassie notices through a window.
Mom, some idiot just parked this ugly RV outside our house.
What?
She notices her dad at the wheel.
Oh my God, it's your husband.
Jamie, Carl, and Cassie meet Bob outside.
Oh, hi.
What is that?
It's an RV.
And why is it in front of our house?
We're taking it on vacation.
To Hawaii?
No, it doesn't float. Colorado.
What happened to Hawaii?
Come on, Hawaii's a winter destination. It's summer. The place I'm taking is special, and not like Uncle Mike. It's a lake, Lake Nirvana. It's where I went with my parents as a kid.
Is he kidding? Is he being funny? Because I can never tell.
Oh, come on. You've always wanted to camp, right?
Don't you see? This is what he came up with to punish me for Gretchen. I was going to surf. Nice one, Dad. Thanks.
The hotel in Hawaii has a weight room. Doesn't anybody respect my lifting schedule?
Jamie stares, then leaves. Bob follows her inside.
We're not campers. We don't camp.
Why not?
Why? Why not? Well, for one thing, we like to shower.
Well, it's got a shower. Come on, you and I will go out there right now and take a shower together.
Bob, do you know where you stay when you take an RV trip?
Where?
RV camps. Honey, try to remember, we're not friendly.
Well, listen, in Hawaii, we'll never see the kids. This way, we both can spend time with them.
You need to spend time with them. I spend 9 hours a day with them, and I want Hawaii.
All right, we'll go to Hawaii at Christmas. And it'll just be us and a lot of Jewish people. We'll have all the ham to ourselves.
Oh, I'll have to cook every night.
No, you won't, because I'll cook every night, every meal.
We were going to take naps. Hotel room, afternoon, lock the door, naps.
Oh, the good naps.
Yeah, how are we going to do that in an RV?
I'll drive slowly.
I was going to get a massage.
I'll give you a massage.
So you're going to do all the cooking, you're going to give me massages,
yeah.
And you're going to spend time with the kids.
You got it.
Did you cancel our Hawaii trip because Todd told you to? Did you volunteer us for some sort of experiment that the family travels around and drinks nothing but pure vibe soda to see if our teeth fall out?
Honey, I'm running out of time with my kids. Come on, baby. Why don't you come out in the wilderness with your big brawny man? Don't make me call for my mail order bride.
Jamie smiles and grips his shoulders.
Bob.
Now, a rack holds four bicycles.
Here's something your genius husband probably overlooked. 4 miles to the gallon? Gee, why don't we just stay home and set fire to an oil field?
A rent-me decal covers the RV's right side.
There's an elegant touch.
An 8-foot graphic shows a man in a cowboy hat.
Or we could just travel around in clown suits.
Inside.
I spent the night with my head in the toilet. I'm sure it's contagious.
On the phone with Todd, Bob hides his laptop in a pot.
All right, no more details. Just email me the new proposal.
In the RV, Jamie loads dishes into an overhead cabinet. Cassie faces Carl.
It's my couch. Move.
Make me.
Cassie grabs him by his waist and collar and throws him into a swiveling seat.
Seat's better anyway.
Whatever.
Outside the RV, Bob opens a side storage hatch. As he stows the pot containing the laptop, other pots fall out. Looking over her shoulder, Jamie shakes her head. Bob tidies the mess, shuts the hatch, and joins his family in the RV.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Before we embark, I think we should give this beauty a name. Suggestions?
The Big Turd.
The Big Rolling Turd.
In that spirit, we set forth.
Bob sits at the wheel and reaches for his seatbelt. As it repeatedly sticks, Jamie buckles in easily. Bob gives the self-retracting belt tug after tug. He teases it out farther, but it sticks again. Jamie gives a sheepish smirk as he struggles. On another try, Bob clears a good 20 inches, but the belt locks up again. He lets it retract and tugs gently. Carl stares blankly at his father. Now, in a single smooth pull, Bob manages to buckle up. Turning the ignition, he eyes Jamie.
Make it so, number one.
As she shakes her head at Cassie, Bob puts the RV in gear.
Honey, are you sure you know how...
Trust me, okay?
Smiling, he drives off the road into some trash bins.
Oh!
Thanks.
Jamie glares at Bob.
Oh, my God.
As Carl shoots a puzzled frown at his dad, Bob puts the RV in reverse.
Honey.
What?
Tree?
Yeah, it's all right.
Bob backs into a stone gatepost, which crumbles. Carl grins.
Honey?
Cassie covers her face and rolls onto her side.
Okay.
Honey, tree!
Bob narrowly avoids the tree. The RV blocks the entire width of the street as Bob clumsily negotiates a 3-point turn.
Honey.
As Bob pulls forward, the rear bumper topples their second stone gate post. Inside, Carl grins.
Anything else you want to hit?
Rolling over a corner, Bob flattens a stop sign.
Do you want to go back? We missed the neighbor's cat.
The RV streams past, its rent-me decal and giant cowboy Irv gleaming on its side.
You
are 31 hours from your destination.
What's that?
Roadmate 700. I call it Lola.
Make a right in 100 feet.
Thank you, Lola. She's accurate to within 10 feet.
Go straight.
No, Lola says take a right.
Well, you'll hit mall traffic. Just go straight.
50 feet.
Yeah, but she said take a right.
Well, I'm telling you to go straight.
Mm-hmm. 20 feet.
Choose.
Baby, please.
Turn right.
Choose! Dad!
Turn right.
As the traffic light turns red, Bob makes a hard right. Plates and Tupperware tumble from a cabinet, raining down onto Cassie. As the RV restabilizes out of the turn, Jamie and Bob look back at her.
My bad.
You are 30 hours and 59 turns from your destination.
Later outside, Value Barn, Cassie reads.
Say, Dad, this is interesting. Unsecured items in an unlatched cabinet are a recipe for disaster. Didn't you read this?
No, I was too busy thinking of all the ways that we're going to have fun, Cass.
Dad, somebody's stealing the RV.
The vehicle moves slowly across the lot.
No, Carl. Nobody's stealing. It's just rolling backwards with no one in it.
It mows over a row of shopping carts and grinds to a stop. Now Bob talks on his cell phone as he clears the carts.
Oh, yeah!
Well, my bad.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks, Saul.
Irv. Not Saul.
I don't know where the hell I got Saul.
Well,
thanks.
Good news.
I'm adopted.
Good one.
No, thanks to my technically proficient and charmingly amusing description, Saul.
Irv.
The dealer said we probably damaged the parking gear interlock and the emergency brake. We had that little mishap, you know, when Mom distracted me. We were pulling out of the driveway. But the real brakes, you know, the driving brakes, the ones we use when we're moving, they're fine. They're not just fine, they're brilliant. All we have to do is every time we park the RV, we have to put two big blocks or chocks under the rear wheel. We'll be perfect. Thanks for the help. Okay, everybody, come on. It'll be fun. Let's go. Miles and smiles.
This is the worst I've ever been treated.
Where do you get married?
Thank you.
Everybody, let's get aboard the big rolling turd.
Now on the highway.
Little GTO, you're really looking fine.
The RV's rear bumper drives a shopping cart, which dislodges and bounces across the pavement. Riding shotgun, Jamie listens to headphones.
Come on, turn it on. Run it up.
Blow it up.
Bob eyes her.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah, yeah, little GT. Wah, wah.
Curling a dumbbell, Carl puts on his own headphones.
Yeah, yeah, little GT. Wah, wah, little GTO.
White boys, make some noise. Let them know that we are right here.
Cassie puts in her earbuds.
Make some noise.
Pound, pound.
Let them know we ain't going nowhere.
Can't stay at school.
Oh, folks say, you're right here, right here. White boys, make some noise.
Let them know that we are right
here.
I got you all like old boy who's a dad.
Whatever
it takes to make him come to the senses.
Have you, grab you, tell you a song.
Bob glances back at Cassie.
Hello, Mom.
Wind it up.
Blow it up.
Outside, the RV recedes down the highway. Now, a cactus-shaped sign reads, Welcome, RV Park. A few motorhomes sit parked in the dirt lot. Bob uses a mallet to secure braking blocks under his RV's rear tire. His family looks on cheerlessly. He gets to his feet.
That was easy.
His family turns in unison and heads for the door. Bob stows the mallet in a storage hatch. Inside, Jamie, Cassie, and Carl plop down in different seats. Bob enters, pulling the door shut behind him.
Now what do we do?
Hey, I know. Let's go to the beach and go surfing.
Wait a minute. I forgot. We're not in Hawaii. We're where NASA faked the moon landing.
Wait a minute.
Bob steps to a control panel.
Will you see this? It's called a pop-out.
As he presses a button, the dining booth moves with Jamie seated inside.
Hold on.
She wears a blasé look as the section slowly extends to the side. On the moving couch, Cassie rests her head on her hand.
Whee!
Whoa, where are you?
Carl blinks lethargically as he watches.
Ta-da! How cool is that?
Macarena cool.
Bob raises his finger.
Hey.
He crosses to the front of the vehicle.
You guys want to see a movie? But where?
He reveals a TV inside a panel, then grabs a remote. As he repeatedly presses a button, his smile fades.
Forgive my youthful ignorance, but don't you need to hook up the big rolling turd to the electricity for that?
Yes, I do.
Flashing a smile, he drops the remote and exits. Now, a flap rises, revealing a utility hatch filled with complicated circuits and switches. Giving a blank stare, Bob purses his lips crookedly. His gaze lifts to a long set of finely printed directions on the underside of the flap. Back inside, Carl eats potato chips, then crumples up the bag.
I gotta take a crap. Time to break in the pooper.
He throws the bag at Cassie.
You are so disgusting.
She hurls it away, then writes in a journal. Carl enters the bathroom.
Dad! The toilet's backed up!
Jamie and Cassie share a look. Back outside, Bob shifts his gaze warily. Later, he and Carl peer down through the toilet seat. Bob sneers.
Carl, what did you eat?
Dad, it's not mine.
They recoil away. Now, the word waste circles a valve dripping with sewage.
There's a problem. Sewage tank is overflowing.
And it's not even our sewage, it's leftover.
It's not a national emergency. We'll go to the place where you dump the sewage and we'll dump the dump. Now, come on, let's all go.
You know, as appealing as that sounds, I think I'm gonna pass, but thank you. And don't forget, you're making dinner.
As Jamie walks off, Bob looks to Cassie.
Sure, Dad. I'd love to clean somebody else's crap out of the RV instead of being in Hawaii.
As she leaves, Carl pops up beside his father.
Can I come?
Not only can you come, you could dump the sewage.
Really?
Yeah. It's gonna be a regular Field of Dreams moment for us, buddy.
He messes his son's hair. Later, Bob and Carl drive off in the RV, leaving behind a cloud of dust. It clears, revealing Jamie and Cassie sitting drearily in lawn chairs. Now, our view rises out of a cement hole. Carl and Bob crouch over it.
Piece of cake.
He opens a hatch on the RV and several different colored hoses fall out. Later, Bob wears plastic baggies over his hands as he squats beside the RV's sewage tank. He gags. He extends a red hose's nozzle toward the opening, then drops it aside. As he tries a green hose, a dingy camper pulls up behind the RV. Two men climb out, one with a blonde beard, busy shirt, and camouflage shorts. Bob feeds a shiny black hose out of the hatch and inspects its open end.
Gonna be a while, mister?
Oh, well, that depends. If I can get this hose attached to this outlet, I'll be right out of here.
Another man walks up.
What's the deal with you?
Guy needs to attach a hose.
Turn it.
A teen boy joins the gawkers.
What's up?
Gonna attach a hose.
Fella here's trying to hook up a hose.
Well, maybe get on the loudspeaker.
That there's the wrong hose. It's that there one.
Bob grabs it.
Yeah.
Got the coupling.
You're right. That one right there.
He attaches it to his tank.
There you go. Okay.
He walks toward the dump station and jerks back as it yanks taut.
You need another hose.
Yeah, I guess, but
He picks up an extension.
Long enough, but
He bounces the two ends together.
You gotta get one of them bayonet couplings, you know?
He hasn't got one.
Well, he's got himself a Y coupling right there.
Yeah, that'll do the trick.
The bearded man grabs a three-hole connector.
So why?
Oh, I see.
One potato.
Alrighty.
Two potatoes.
He connects the hoses.
There we go.
Well, listen, I'm no expert in waste management, but won't the fecal matter come out the top hole there?
The bearded man stares, slack-jawed.
No, you just gotta hold it up in the air like this. There you go. A little bit higher. There you go.
Oh, like that, there.
There you go.
Okay, you sure this is gonna work?
Heck yeah, man. It's basic hydraulics.
Okay, Archimedes.
Hey, Jojo.
He points his scruffy travel companion to the RV sewage tank.
Okay.
Let it rip.
Jojo opens the valve and sewage flows up the green hose. It rises to the Y coupling over Bob's head, then streams gently down the next hose. An overflow spews from the top hole.
Turn it off!
Jojo shuts the valve.
That sure didn't work.
Need a hose spreader.
Who's got one?
Gornicky, I think. I'll get it.
I'll get some music.
Oh, no.
Please. Some of those tortilla chips.
We got some leftover sausages.
Bring them.
No, you folks really don't need to have a parade or something. I don't want to impose.
Oh, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. We are going to get this fixed up for you, buddy.
He pats Bob on the back. Now a curvy line of motorhomes sit parked behind the Monroe's RV. Dozens of travelers gather in the sandy lot for a barbecue. The blonde bearded man helps Bob jam one green hose into the other with a pair of angled tongs.
There we go. Yes. That worked.
You sure this will hold?
Hey, man. Why would they sell you a hose spreader if you couldn't spread the hose?
Huh? Let's get in the hole. Come on.
Open her up, Jojo.
His scruffy travel companion gives a thumbs up, then flips the valve lever.
Locked. I'll flush a line.
Jojo hurries off. As the bearded man inspects the tank, Carl crouches near his father.
Hey, Dad.
Son, maybe now is the time to confess to you that your dad's not the master of all things.
Yeah, I kind of got that when you started taking advice from morons.
Yeah. All we need is a banjo.
Oh, man. He didn't even open it up all the way.
He opens the valve wider, and the hoses successfully direct the sewage to the dump station.
See? No worries.
Yep.
Oh. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Toad.
Yeah, I'm still pretty sick.
Where's my presentation?
Presentation? Oh, I think it's some of the best work I've ever done, not to toot my own horn, but...
Yeah.
You have it in your email Thursday morning.
Thursday?
No, that's not soon enough. Tomorrow will be great.
The hose connection bulges and sprouts a leak.
Oh, I gotta go.
As he holds it together, sewage sprays his shirt.
Oh, dude, that is nasty.
Don't worry, I'll get another hose.
Meanwhile...
Fire in the hole!
Jojo dumps water into the toilet. Back outside, a geyser of sewage shoots five stories over the RV. Bob hits the deck, and the brownish-yellow waste rains down on him. As he lifts his head, a pair of cowboy boots strides up between him and the spectators. Wearing blue jeans, a denim shirt, a tan leather vest, and a pale cowboy hat, a man with a sandy blonde mustache peers down at him.
Here's where you made your critical mistake. You listened to anything Howie and Jojo said. Nice boys, but they're a couple pliers short of a tool chest.
They're not the ones covered in fecal matter.
Point.
He reaches for his hip pocket.
Travis Gornicky.
He offers Bob a handkerchief. The soiled man gets up.
Bob Monroe.
Yeah, let's postpone that handshake till we get you cleaned up.
Later, Bob twitches as he giggles. 10 feet away, Travis sprays him down with a high-powered hose. The friendly stranger circles the stream of water around Bob's crotch.
Clean enough to use your own shower.
Bob?
Two boys approach.
The vehicle's all cleaned up, Daddy.
Ah, nice work, son.
Thank you, boys.
Welcome, Mr.
Sure, no problem, Mr. Monroe.
Look, can I offer you a...
No! Bob wouldn't think of it. We're neighbors.
Dad, moments to know. What happened to you?
The older boy gapes at Cassie.
He was covered in turd.
Oh, I know the feeling. Moments to know when you're gonna cook dinner.
Well, you tell your mother when I'm good and ready, that's when.
Travis nods and smiles.
I'll tell her.
Tell her I'm good and ready. Well, thanks.
Hey, it's a pleasure hosing you down, Bob.
Ditto.
Hey, Dad, why can't they have dinner with us?
You know, aside from the stink, I don't see why not. Why don't you come on over? Tuesday's meatloaf. Then afterwards, we can sit around and watch Ernest Goes to Jail.
It is funny.
Well, it's a classic.
Yeah, we're gonna make a whole night of it.
Woo! I wish I could, but I promised my family I'd make my special dish, shish kebab.
Oh, that's good!
He slaps Bob's arm.
Well, another time then. Huh?
Yeah, try to keep me away.
Okay. Nursing his arm, Bob waves meekly, gives a thumbs up, and marches off.
Carl!
At dusk, the cactus sign illuminates. Beyond the RV's window, Bob flails in the kitchen.
Honey! How's it going?
Great, baby.
Okay, well, how long? Because we're starving.
4 hours. Maybe longer if you keep asking.
What?
It's a small oven, and I'm having to do the potatoes with a hairdryer set on high.
Bob heads back in as his family waits outside. He returns to the doorway.
Hey, who wants to go to a party?
Later, Bob leads his family to a sleek bus with a side plaque that reads Gornicky. Travis reads a newspaper at a picnic table.
Here we are. Hope we're not late.
No!
Well, Bob said we were invited.
Of course you were.
Well, then here we are. We're hungry.
All right. Mary Jo, our company's here.
What company?
The ones that are close enough to hear you yelling, darling.
A perky blonde leans out.
Well, hi.
Hi.
Honey, help me.
I got you here, John. Let's see. Earl and Billy you met.
Hi, I'm Earl.
And I'm not.
My wife, Mary Jo, and my daughter, Moon.
Hey, y'all.
As Carl lays eyes on her, his jaw drops. Her hair ruffles in the wind, and she joins her family.
Well, Moon, that's kind of a hippie name, like Moon, Rainbow, Bong.
She was named after Warren Moon. He was the quarterback of the Houston Oilers.
Well, this is my wife, Jamie. Cassie, my daughter. My son, Carl. Named after Karl Marx. Socialist, some would say the father of modern communism.
The Gornickys hold a long grin. Later, the two families dine together.
As I'm going up, I got blood pouring out of my eyes. You know? I looked up, I said, who is that lovely? Oh,
next day, we were married in Juarez. 9 months later, out popped Earl.
Earl smiles at Cassie.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Yeah, actually, I'm engaged.
Unlikely.
So, where are you guys from? Where do you hang your hat?
Behind the wheel of that bus.
Really?
Full-timer, USA.
Really? Well, how do Moon, Earl, and... not Earl, go to school?
Homeschool.
Oh.
I hope you don't find this next question too personal, but how do you...
make a living? Various ways. Let's see, we made $25,000 and we turned in Mary Jo's stepdad.
In prison, he's getting the help he needs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I almost forgot, Mary Jo makes a living. I mean, she earns $60,000 a year without ever leaving that bus.
Really? Hooking?
Jamie stares at her husband.
Funny.
I'm a mobile sales rep for Happy Max. Y'all seen the infomercials for our musical car horns?
No, I don't think
we have.
Billy White Shoes, blow that horn.
Young Billy Watch climbs it. Into Wait the bus's it. Driver's seat.
I love it every time. Wow. That's fantastic. That was...
Whoa.
Jamie, are you a stay-at-home mom?
Yes.
When there's not a sale.
Let me hook you up with Happy Max. I got a rep bag in the bus.
Oh.
Plus, I represent Lovely Lily Beauty Products.
Mary Jo's a trained cosmetologist.
You know what? If you're still here tomorrow, I'm going to give you a complete free total makeover.
Oh, you don't.
A $39 package, absolutely free.
Oh, that'd be good, honey.
No.
You know what? I'm going to work on you the whole day tomorrow.
A man hands Cassie a bowl.
There you go, little lady.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't eat meat.
Well, I know. I heard you talking. That's why I brought you this here. There ain't no meat in it.
Oh, no meat? You hear that, Cass? No meat. Thank you. That's lovely.
That's right. It's all organs.
Cassie pulls the spoon from her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Deer organs? They're fresh, too. I run him over this morning. The rest of it's curing in the bedroom. But the stomach, brains, and pancreas, we just toss that into the stew, cause in this heat, it doesn't keep.
She runs off.
Little lady!
She races through a motorhome and opens a door. Slabs of meat hang from the ceiling. Now Bob bites a coconut and marshmallow-coated snack cake. Cassie returns.
There's my girl.
Dad, can we please go?
Yes. You know, thank you so much for the invitation. This has been great. A lot of fun.
Dad, listen!
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. This is kind of our family theme song. Kids, come on! Get up there. Go. Hurry up. Get the,
Oh, they're
gonna
love
it. Oh, little mommy's got a whole song and dance kind of thing working out. You just
that's
hang on.
Wonderful.
Come on, Moon. Come on. Aww. Here we go.
Thank you, darling.
Moon gives him a guitar and harmonica.
You guys line up the way we practice.
Travis props one leg on a chair.
I've got a never-ending love for you.
Never-ending love.
From now on, that's all I wanna do.
Mary Jo wraps a tambourine against her hip and breasts.
The first time we met, I knew I'd sing my never-ending song of love for you.
Bob raises his hands to clap. Wearing a thick, shiny necklace and crooked cap, Carl keeps his gaze on Moon. He grins.
Ooh.
From the first time we met, I've sung my never-ending song of love for you, my love for you.
Wow.
I never grow tired of that song. Last time I heard I was buck naked in a field with a road flare.
Dad. Yeah.
Big travel day tomorrow.
Where are y'all headed?
Away. Mount Watson in Colorado.
Jamie pinches his ear.
Just fantastic to have met you folks.
Same here. Yeah. Hope we see you again. Oh, yeah. How about breakfast tomorrow?
Bagels and deer testicles?
Oh, yeah, she's funny. Just like you.
He grabs Bob in a headlock.
Oh, oh, I love to have breakfast, but we're early risers.
Well, that's two. 6 a.m. work for you.
Oh, we'll be long gone by then.
Yeah. Yeah, trust us.
Bob turns hastily and falls over patio furniture.
Bob?
Kevin.
Oh, friendly folks.
Yeah, they're nice people.
Now, in the RV, Jamie lies asleep in bed. Beside her, Bob rests on his back in the shadows. He sits up and gets out of bed. An alarm clock on a nightstand reads 1:15. Now outside, Bob creeps down the steps of the RV. He cautiously closes the door behind him and the steps retract. Bob steps lightly along the side of the vehicle and eases a storage hatch open. Now, our view looks down at the park from the top of the neon cactus sign. We see Bob sneaking away from his mobile home, briskly heading toward a brick building at the end of the lane. With his laptop in hand, Bob enters a public bathroom. Approaching the far stall, he gags. He enters the stall next to it. Ripping off some toilet paper, he holds it between his fingers and lowers the lid. Billy enters the facility in a pair of PJs and stops in front of the doorless stall.
Hi, Mr. Monroe.
Hi, Billy. I'm just,
Wow. You sure got a nice one.
What?
That's a nice laptop.
Oh, thanks. What are you doing up?
I have a sleep disorder. I haven't slept since I was 5.
So you just wander around the campground?
Yeah, I don't really mind. It's the only time I have alone. Well, see ya.
As the boy wanders out, Bob holds a smile. He takes a steadying breath and types quickly. Outside, the deep blue sky lightens several shades. From above the stall, Bob types a text-heavy document. He runs a hand through his hair, then continues. Bob presses a few keys and stops. Bob pulls out a wireless remote. He inserts it into the side of the laptop and a window pops up. It reads, no connection available. Connection failed. Bob raises a fist to his lips and taps the keyboard. Now standing with one leg on the toilet and one on the paper holder, he holds the computer high above his head. Outside, the neon cactus light flickers off. Holding his open laptop at shoulder level, Bob exits the bathroom door labeled Gents. He passes Billy standing nearby.
Morning.
Good morning, Miss Monroe.
Swinging a stick like a bat, Billy whacks a stone and picks up another. Now in the RV, Bob climbs into bed beside his sleeping wife. His head sinks into the pillow.
Come on, let's go! 5:30.
The corner keys!
Later, Jamie folds up the bed. As Bob sits at the wheel with a coffee cup, Cassie looks through binoculars.
Cassie?
There's movement. She's moving.
Carl? Let's get going!
Bob pulls on his seatbelt and it sticks. Cassie's binocular view levels on Mary Jo exiting the Gornicky bus.
Bob! Got it! Underlay, underlay, Carl! Cass, what's our status? She's out the door! She's coming! Mary, Mary, she's coming!
Jamie drags Carl out of the bathroom with his pants down, then hops into the seat next to Bob.
Go, go, go!
Come on!
Couldn't get it, but it's not moving.
The wheel!
This stupid pop-out thing!
Outside, Mary Jo walks with a bright smile.
Hurry, Mom, she's coming!
Jamie rushes to the control panel and presses a button. While the RV side retracts, Bob removes the blocks and Carl pitches them in a hatch. Carrying a bag and an armful of folded fabric, Mary Jo starts to jog. As Bob jumps behind the wheel, the pop-out breaks off a cabinet door.
Will you move, that son of a...
Bob pounds the gas and Jamie flies back. Hitting a small cactus sign, the RV swerves down the lane.
Hey!
As Mary Jo waves, the RV zooms past her with its awning still extended. A passing light pole rips the canopy off. The RV steers wildly over parking blocks and exits the park. Mary Jo squints through the dust.
They are early risers.
Now, under a bright blue sky, a red tractor heads down a two-lane highway. As it crawls slowly across the vast, flat land, the RV follows close behind it. A line of cars trail behind them. In the RV, the speedometer barely reaches 10 miles per hour. Bob watches the needle waver.
I'm going a whole 12 miles an hour.
Then pass him!
Bob pulls out right toward an oncoming truck. As he swerves back, the big rig speeds past them.
Kids, leave him alone. He's not that good a driver.
Bob eyes his wife, then focuses on the road ahead.
Really?
With a stern scowl, he pulls into the opposite lane. Farther ahead, another truck approaches.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
The RV pulls up next to the wide tractor. Irv's shrugging arms and the attached bikes pass the farm vehicle.
Come on.
Bob. Bob.
The approaching truck grows larger. Carl stares with his mouth open.
Oh. Bob.
As the rig charges toward them, Bob swerves in front of the tractor. The vehicles miss each other by inches. Bob pumps his fist and smiles.
All right.
Carl bites a snack cake.
Thanks. Right.
Bob's eyes drift down.
Hey, guess what?
What?
We need gas. And I really have to go to the bathroom.
You know, we have one of those.
Yeah, but after my last little shower of sadness, I...
Okay, do what you have to do.
I've got an ICBM coming.
They pull off the road.
If there's a poop fairy, I can make a lot of money.
Behind them, the tractor passes, leading a trail of cars down the highway. Bob drives into a gas station and parks next to a pump. Now, standing outside the mobile home, Bob inserts a gas nozzle into the tank opening located right in Irv's belly button. He locks it in place and lifts open a storage hatch. Bob discreetly removes his laptop. He tucks the computer under his shirt and peeks in the passenger side door.
That could be a while, baby. It's an 80-gallon tank.
Now in the bathroom, a teenage sandy-haired boy with a guitar slung across his back washes his hands. Bob enters and heads into a stall. He closes the door, then takes out his laptop. As he opens it, Carl rushes in.
Dad, you in here?
Carl, I just need a minute.
Sure, only the RV's rolling away.
Be right up.
Bob shuts the laptop and hides it behind the toilet. Outside, he walks around the RV and finds Travis hammering the blocks in place.
Hey, Bob!
Travis.
Yeah, I think you got a little problem with your vehicle. I'm no expert, but I think it's your parking gear interlock and your emergency brake.
How did you...
It's a miracle. We pulled in a second and started rolling away.
Isn't that something? Y'all want to hear about the time Jesus saved us from a tornado?
Oh, it's a great story.
You know, I'd love to, but I was in the little boy's room taking care of business when Carl interrupted me, but Jamie'd love to hear it.
Bob flees.
Well... It seemed just like yesterday.
In the bathroom, the teenager with the guitar exits a stall. Bob's laptop sticks up from his bag. As he leaves, Bob rushes in past him. He enters the stall, then hurries to the next one. He checks behind the toilet, then runs out of the bathroom. Outside, the young man hops onto the back of a truck and ducks behind a tractor on its flatbed. While the vehicle pulls away from the gas station, Bob charges out of a store and looks around. Frowning, he spots the teenager riding away. Bob looks to the sky.
Thank you.
In a nearby playground, Carl stands next to Moon.
I don't want to get too big, you know? I mean, I don't want to look freakish. No.
Earl takes a seat next to Cassie and hands her a few sheets of paper.
What is this?
It's a list of places between here and Colorado that sell organic health food. I got it last night off the internet.
Oh, that was really thoughtful.
She folds it up.
What do you listen to?
Nothing.
So, Billy was blown right out of that tree, and right before he hit the ground, from out of nowhere, comes this queen-size Simmons mattress, slides right under him, and cushions his fall.
Saved his life. Plus, we needed the mattress.
I have a bad back.
So, you folks want to join us for breakfast?
We
ate.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Monroe, I was just telling Earl and Moon about that neat laptop you're using.
When were you using your laptop?
At work, all the time. I was just telling him.
When did he see you using one?
You know, we'd love to join you for breakfast.
Oh! Travis hooks his arm around Bob's neck.
Somebody's right.
Welcome to my world.
Jamie grimaces.
Why don't you guys go on in and get that table? We'll be right there.
All right, come on, kids.
As the Gornickies walk away, Bob and Jamie smile and wave.
We're ditching them?
Absolutely. Okay.
The RV speeds away with the gas nozzle still inserted.
So, because you told them we were early risers, we had to get up at 5:30 to avoid the Gornickies.
Right.
Which we managed not to do anyway because you refused to use the bathroom on the RV that you rented.
You're just determined to have a bad time, aren't you?
We all are, Dad.
Not me. I embrace every challenge.
He pulls up behind the red tractor. Jamie and Carl tilt their heads back against their seats.
Oi.
Elsewhere, the Gornicky's bus speeds down an open road.
Honey, maybe they just got some bad news and had to leave.
You're a sweet woman, Mary Jo. It's what I love about you, but them folks ditched us.
She smiles, then spots a young hitchhiker.
Oh, Trav, honey, pull over. Let's pull over. He looks like a folk singer.
It's the teenager with a guitar.
Hello there. How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the Gornicky bus.
You a folk singer.
The teenager rides off with them. Meanwhile, on another highway, the Monroes drive past a sign that reads, Welcome to Utah, still the right place. Now the RV sits parked between rocky, red cliffs. Carl sits on one of the jagged hillsides and plays a portable video game. In the RV, Bob husks corn.
Cass, can you turn on the oven for me?
I'm so bored. I could actually throw up from how bored I am.
I brought games. Sorry, Monopoly, Twister. Come on, it'll be fun.
Good. Did you turn on the oven?
No.
I'll do it.
Jamie opens the oven. Carl looks up, then jogs over to the RV.
Raccoon! Oh, in the oven!
No.
Bob, don't open it!
Bob looks, and a raccoon rears up. He runs outside with Jamie and Cassie.
No! Did you take out the roast from last night?
I guess not.
What's the plan?
Let's give him Carl. Maybe he'll eat him and leave.
Let's give him you. Maybe he's on the South Bitch diet.
Good one.
Cassie shoves Carl.
Hey! Come on. Did you see what the raccoon's doing? He's playing head games. He wants to divide and conquer us. We have to hang together. Stay strong.
Just get rid of it.
Just me?
Yeah.
Bob pounds on the RV.
Roof! 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 Come on, Blue. There's coons in there. Come on, boy.
Bob.
Roof! Roof! Go get him, boy! Roof!
Bob.
Roof!
Jamie shrugs at her husband. He returns the gesture, then pulls a yellow umbrella off the back of a lawn chair. Gripping it tightly, he climbs the steps.
Ah!
Just kidding.
Jamie sighs.
I'm going in.
As she nods, Bob turns back.
Is anyone going to stop me? Dad, don't. Raccoon might have rabies. Nothing? Not a word?
Not really.
Bob faces the open doorway.
Daddy?
Yeah, baby.
Don't hurt him.
Bob stares at his daughter and nodding wife. He cautiously climbs a step and opens the umbrella.
I am entering the RV.
Jamie watches and grits her teeth.
Still no sign. I'm going towards the oven door. I'm opening the up.
Ow! Ow! Oh my God! Ow! Ow! Ow!
Jamie grins at her kids.
You guys, he's just joking around.
Carl knits his brow. At the window, Bob waves the torn umbrella. As Jamie turns and faces the RV, Bob flies back past the door with a misshapen umbrella. She flinches, then watches Bob joust forward with the umbrella. Bob runs out with wild eyes and hair.
We need a new plan.
And it's all because your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll.
On the Gornicky bus, the hitchhiker plays guitar.
The evening rolls around and it's time to go to town. Where do you go? Rock and roll. You pull into the drive-in, find a place to park. Hop into the back, see where you know it's nice and dark.
Billy spots Bob's laptop in the stranger's bag. The bus stops short.
All right, let's go. You're off the Gornicky bus.
I didn't steal it. I found it.
Well, now you lost.
Mary Jo tosses out his bag and they leave the teenager on the side of the road. Mary Jo grins.
That's why they didn't come to breakfast. He lost his computer and now he needs it and they went off all frantic to find it.
I was quick to think the worst. I'm filled with chagrin.
Oh, honey.
Meanwhile, outside the RV.
What is that?
It's a stink bomb. Got it from the guy in the office. Cost me $175. I can get this for $5 online. I know it.
You're gonna set that off in the RV?
He assured me it's not toxic. It's just noxious, like Grandpa Ted.
He unwraps the canister.
Don't let her.
Handing off the bag, Bob walks up to the RV and pulls a key out of the bomb.
Suck on this, Rocky!
He tosses the canister in and runs away. Thick yellow smoke wafts out.
Whoa. Whoa. Yeah!
Jamie and Cassie cover their mouths.
Run, critters!
Three raccoons exit.
Where that came from, you little bandit! Yeah!
Bob sits with his family on folding chairs.
I'm not so ill-equipped to handle an emergency as some people may think.
No one said you were ill-equipped.
You know it, baby.
How long does this last?
Jamie reads the bag.
Up to 6 hours.
As smoke pours out the windows, Jamie faces her husband.
Well, it's a beautiful evening. Let's sit outside and enjoy nature.
Nighttime. Wearing large, bright garbage bags, the Monroes sit in the pouring rain.
Gee, why don't we huddle under the awning? Oh, we can't! Dad tore it off back in Nevada!
Well, why don't we just get underneath the umbrella?
Oh, that's right! Dad fed it to the raccoons! Please, try the office again!
No, he's an idiot! He won't let us in! He charged me $70 for these bags!
What about that bar we passed on the way up here?
Yeah, that beats him!
And a room!
Oh, it's dark out there. Besides, those raccoons could be waiting.
Carl climbs a hill. Squinting, he spots a lit building in the distance.
Hey! I can see it! Just down there! Come on, I'm starving! Bob?
It's a bad idea.
It's just out the...
Losing his balance, Carl slips off the edge. As he slides down a flooded trench, his family runs up the hill. At the top, Bob falls over. Jamie slips. Her daughter follows. The Monroes speed down with the gushing runoff in a loosely spaced line. At the bottom, Carl lands in a puddle. His father, mother, and sister land beside him. They sit up in the shallow water and look at one another. As the drenched, muddy family gets to their feet, Bob raises his brow. Drops fall from his hair and eyelashes. Jamie gazes at her husband. A wide grin spreads over his face. She smiles. Now, still wearing their ponchos, the family stands in the bar.
Table for four, no smoking.
Wipe your feet.
Later at a table, Jamie shifts her closed lips, then pulls a knotted cherry stem out of her mouth.
See, that's why you should study, so you can get good grades and go to a big party school.
Nearby.
Hey, Dad, how come you never got a pool table for the house?
Because of the generalissimo over there. We had one before you were born in the dining room, but then, you know, you get a job, you start inviting people over for dinner, you have a family.
So life used to be fun.
It was fun, but then something happened that was a lot more fun. We got the George Foreman's smokeless grill.
Okay.
He shoots the eight ball into a side pocket. Later, the Monroes return to the RV. Carl opens the door and they grimace.
It's fine. Let's just go to sleep.
Carl climbs the steps.
Dad.
Bob yawns and follows his family into the mobile home. Now, with Jamie lying by his side, Bob pulls back the covers and climbs out of bed. He sneaks out of the bedroom and treads lightly to the front of the RV. Stopping by the pull-out beds, he gazes at Carl and Cassie, sleeping peacefully. Bob leans down and gently removes Carl's headphones. He stows them under the bed, then regards Cassie sprawled on her stomach. With a tender look, the weary father walks over to his daughter's bed and lifts a blanket over her shoulders. He bends down and kisses the top of her head. Smiling warmly, Bob lingers next to his children, then walks back to the bathroom door. He gingerly turns the knob and enters. Now, typing with his thumbs, Bob enters information into a PDA. An image of text on the small screen dissolves into an overhead view of Bob flexing his fingers. Later, still typing, Bob forces his eyes open wide. Using his index finger, he pecks at the tiny buttons. He rubs both eyes and grins. An option menu pops up, and Bob presses a key. The screen reads, "Preparing to send." Then, no signal, unable to send. Bob's lips quiver as he pouts. Now, outside, he climbs onto a hill and rotates with the PDA in hand. Standing high above the RV, he raises his arm toward the sky. The exhausted traveler slouches. Standing on a higher ledge, he lifts the device. Bob tries one hill after another, then bends over. As the sun rises, Bob climbs the ladder on the RV. Pink and gray clouds hover on the distant horizon. Bob reaches the top and grips the chrome railing. Resting on his knees, he takes out the PDA, then rises to his feet. Bob holds the PDA with both hands, gently lifting it toward the pale blue sky. A smile grows as he stares at the screen. Grinning, Bob tilts his head back and makes a fist. Now, in the bedroom, Jamie lies sound asleep. Bob sits beside her.
Oh, great. You're up. Will you make the coffee?
Love to.
Thank you.
He walks back out. Later, Jamie takes the front passenger seat, lowers the armrest, and flashes an expectant smile at her husband. Bob sits gripping the wheel and stares blankly out the windshield. Jamie shifts her eyes.
Do you want me to drive?
With a vague smile, Bob sinks out of the driver's seat and crawls past Carl.
You okay, Dad?
Oh, yeah.
Now in the back, Bob's head lowers onto the bed's pillow. Later, the RV heads down an empty stretch of road, flanked by flat grassland. Now up close, it slowly passes. Cassie sits beside her mom, Carl wears his earphones behind them, and the tattered awning flutters against the RV's gaudy orange and green paint job. As Bob bolts upright, our view quickly pulls through the RV to Cassie and Jamie's horrified gazes.
Dad, emergency!
He pulls back a curtain and spots the Gornicky bus flashing its lights behind them.
Gornickies!
In the bus.
I'll get their computer. They're like that hitchhiker in the Twilight Zone. What do they like about us? We're not even that appealing. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life going door-to-door selling musical car horns.
Oh, the Gornickies! I'll flag them down!
Cat!
As the Gornickies pull up beside them, Cassie tackles Carl.
She got it.
Mary Jo hangs out her window.
The girls! Yay! The girls! Mom! Jamie! It's the Gornickies!
Pretend to talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
As Bob and Jamie mouth words and move their arms with animated gestures, Cassie struggles to keep Carl pinned to the floor. Mary Jo spits her hair from her mouth.
And a happy backpack! Pull over!
She ducks back in the bus.
Kids, grab your paint guns. Honey, pull ahead. We'll put one across your bow.
You know, seeing you drive this thing is really turning me on.
Jamie glances out the window.
They've got guns!
As the Gornicky kids aim paintball guns, Bob dives to the floor and Jamie jerks the wheel. The RV veers onto an exit ramp. Mary Jo frowns, holding the laptop.
You can come up now.
Where did you learn to drive like that?
How do you think I get the kids to school on time?
Mary Jo lowers back into her seat beside Travis.
What a shame. If we had their address, we could just ship it to them.
Well, we do know where they're headed. Mount Watson, Colorado.
Mary Jo gives her husband a sweet smile. Now the Monroe's RV passes a highway sign that reads, "Welcome to Colorado, the Centennial State." Later, it heads into a forest past a sign for Mount Watson RV Park. Now, beneath the trees, Cassie walks with Carl.
You know, if you wore clothes that fit, you wouldn't look like a 10-year-old.
That's how I roll.
They spot three teenagers playing basketball.
Oh!
The ball bounces toward Carl, who grabs it.
Oh, sweet.
You say something, Frodo?
No, I was just saying how that guy shacked you over there. We got 2-on-2, right?
Look, why don't you find an under 2-foot league?
Why don't you trade that thing in on top of your neck for a face?
No. Carl chucks the ball at him.
I'm gonna floss you over here.
As the team gives him a wedgie, Bob arrives.
Let's go, man. Bring it. Come on.
Yo, my mobile homeboys. What's tripping in the wood?
This termite belong to you?
Yo, don't my man C. Easy. This is my man C. He's small but ferocious. But you dogs, you're hardcore. Where are you from?
Scottsdale.
Scottsdale. In the zone of y'all. That's a hardcore hood. But if you want to take on my man C here, go ahead, because, you know, he's fierce. He's going to come up in your face. He's going to major damage you. You're going to walk away, maybe limp. But I say talk to the hand, call waiting, because he's out. Boy, is out. I can't restrain him, because I'm conversating you right now to give him a chance to cool down, to get back to a realistic level, as it were, because we could be chilling in our crib, not just on this mobile home thing, representing Malibu and Westwood, you know, mauling it like we all can, boys to mensch. Pimp my Mercedes, call me back, put you on hold. You know what I'm saying?
We gotta go.
Mm-hmm. You better, man. Don't make me call my lawyer, because I'll audit.
Aren't you glad Dad came? They're about to kick your butt.
Carl storms off.
That's not helpful. Carl!
Later, Bob walks with him.
Carl, it occurs to me that you and I haven't had too many warm Seventh Heaven kind of dialogues in the last year.
You're busy a lot.
Yeah, but not too busy to notice that you are sensitive about your size. I'll bet you $1,000 right now you'll grow up bigger than me.
I've seen pictures of you when we were my age. You were huge. Ah. You were shaving already.
Yeah. Well, that's my point. See, I achieved maturity very early. I stopped growing after the 8th grade. But you have the other body type. You're like my friend John Vigosian. When he was 16, he had a 9-inch summer.
How do you mean that?
You grew very tall very quickly, and so will you. And you're being proactive. You're lifting weights. And when you grow up that big, you know what we'll do?
What?
We'll enter father-son extreme fighting competitions.
All right.
And you'll have to push the wheelchair. But we'll get him high and we'll get him low.
Now at their campsite, Bob grills burgers, hot dogs, and veggies as he plays catch with Carl.
I'm gonna add you a little heat right now. Give me a little heat there, a little heat, a little pepper there. Yeah, come on back here. Hi!
As Jamie sets a picnic table, she watches her husband with an adoring grin. She steps over to Bob, kisses him, and whispers in his ear. Cassie sneaks a peek at her affectionate parents.
Kids, dinner's gonna be a little late because...
Jamie nudges him.
Sorry. False alarm. Buzzing is not me.
Todd's picture appears on Bob's cell phone display.
Hello.
Before you hang up on me again, we need to talk.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Signal.
Hold on 1 second. Signal. Can you hear me now?
Bob steps away from his family.
Hey, Todd, did you get the proposal?
Not bad.
Only Laird didn't like it very much.
Who cares what Laird thinks?
I do. He's young, Bob.
We'll talk about it tonight on the plane.
Well, no.
No?
No.
Yeah, I flew in last night because, you know, it's a mile high here and I want to get acclimated and...
You know, you don't want to have a nosebleed in the middle of a presentation. It could be a little embarrassing.
So, I'll see you there. Here.
Daytime. On a hiking trail, Bob hides behind a tree. He blows into the crook of his arm.
Oh, Mom, he's suffering.
Oh. Honey, can I help?
Oh. No, honey. No, don't come down here.
Oh, boy, I'm just going to try and clean up a little. Oh! Ow! Don't use bark. Oh, these are great. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Bob emerges with a handful of leaves.
Nature's broom.
Honey, no, you can't go on like this. It's 10 miles.
No, I don't want to spoil it for you guys.
You won't. We'll go tomorrow.
No. No, tomorrow we go to the lake. Listen, I'll stay here. You go on.
I don't know. It...
Go. It's a beautiful hike.
Oh, guys.
Come on, kids.
Yeah. Okay.
Good. Because... Oh! I'm going to try and make it back to the RV. I'm okay. Got my ferns.
Oh. He limps past his family and down the trail.
Go on, you guys. Save yourself. Okay.
Now, as he reaches the campsite, Bob jogs toward the RV, unbuttoning his shirt. He hurries inside. Now the rear tire spins in the chalk blocks. Wearing a tie, button-down shirt, and dress slacks, Bob removes the blocks. Later, the RV speeds out of the park, kicking up a huge cloud of dust. Bob turns on the navigation system.
Welcome to the Roadmate 700.
Hi, Roma. My wife's not here.
The RV speeds down a dirt road, its tattered awning flapping in the wind. Now it passes a sign for Alpine Soda Company. The mammoth vehicle stops on a long driveway outside a 3-story brick mansion. Now wearing a suit jacket, Bob hammers the chalk blocks in place with the mallet. He quickly tries to open several locked hatches along the RV, then finally tosses the mallet onto the roof. As Bob heads for the mansion, a limo pulls up. Todd steps out.
The hell are you driving?
Cadillac of RVs, Todd. You know, we should go over at Laird.
Yeah, I decided to go with Laird's presentation. But, you know, hang around, tell a few jokes, keep things lively.
You got it. Yeah.
Laird smirks as he passes Bob. Inside, the three businessmen sit frozen staring ahead. A large mastiff stands before them.
Hi there.
Larry Morfine.
Gary Morfine?
Cute dog.
Oh, yeah, she's a sweetie.
Larry rubs the dog's face. Todd shies from his drool-covered hand. Bob shakes it.
Hey, Bob.
Laird.
Hi, Laird.
Gary, Laird. So, fellas, we'll have a little nosh and we'll hear your presentation.
I know Tammy's not here yet, our assistant.
So we'll eat slow.
Okay.
Come on.
Gentlemen?
At a dinner table, the casually dressed brothers eat voraciously. As Gary licks his fingers, Todd shifts his uncomfortable gaze to the panting mastiff. A woman wearing a balloon crown enters.
Oh, hi. Hi. Sorry I'm late. Oh, God. You guys have all just got to see the circus before it leaves.
It's good, huh?
It was amazing.
Whoa. So, of course. I believe you folks have a presentation for us.
Yes. Laird.
Good luck.
Letting out a deep breath, the young man stands at the head of the table, gripping a folder tightly.
In 1985, Pure Vibe Soda completed a friendly takeover of Mr. Twinkle Iced Tea. Today, Mr. Bernard Twinkle is worth an estimated $91 million. And that was with a profit definition not as favorable as the one Pure Vibe is offering. Alpine Soda, if you turn to chart number one.
I'm sorry, is this just going to be about money?
No, stocks.
Other than money, why should we change from a local, family-oriented business to become subsidiary to a national brand?
Todd's grin fades. Laird shifts nervously.
Other than money?
Right.
Yeah.
Gary? Larry?
Bob stands.
50 years ago, if you walked down any street in America on a warm Monday night... Thanks, Laird.
He steps in front of Laird.
You'd hear I Love Lucy coming out of every house on every block. And I'm not speaking about conformity. I'm talking about, isn't it great? And every once in a while, America falls in love with something together. Now, that could happen here. You have a terrific product. Now, money aside, how do you think Walter Frederick Morrison felt every time he walked by a park and he'd see people throwing a frisbee and a dog doing all the work? Now, if Pure Vibe takes Alpine National, I think we have a chance to let America fall in love with something again.
Later, Bob rushes out, checking his watch.
What's your hurry, Bob? Why don't you stay and bask in the glow of my gratitude?
I gotta get the RV back right now, Todd, or I have to pay for a full day.
Well, just picture me hugging you.
Thanks.
Now the RV sits idle amid two lanes of bumper-to-bumper traffic. As Bob removes his tie, he spots a police officer walking past.
Officer, excuse me. What's going on?
Landslide. We're diverting through I-70.
I-70? Take hours. Isn't there another way around Mount Watson?
Diablo Pass, but you're not going to make it in there, Rick.
Now a dirt road zigzags across a mountainside. At the foot of the mountain, a few cows block the road. The RV sits facing them. Inside, Bob stares ahead, his thumbs nervously tapping the steering wheel. He glances at a sign, Diablo Pass. Warning, four-wheel drive vehicle only, ungraded road. Poking his head out the window, he gazes at the traffic jam behind him. Bob looks forward again and purses his lips. The RV drives forward. As it rolls past, the cows amble out of its way. Bob impatiently checks his watch. He lets out a breath as the RV travels over a small wooden bridge. Meanwhile, his family sits on a boulder gazing at majestic mountain peaks.
Dad was right. This is really amazing.
Yeah. Poor Dad. Should we cut this short and go back?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the RV, a roadmate message flashes.
You are not on any marked road.
I know that, Lola.
Make a U-turn at the next legal opportunity.
I can't!
As the RV bounces down a dirt path just wide enough for the vehicle to fit, Bob glances down. Below his window, the road drops off over a steep cliff. Meanwhile, his family hikes through the woods.
Squeeze them cheeks, tighten them buns. Come on, now we having fun.
Big old rolling turd coming through.
The RV rounds a corner. As its tires bounce over the uneven terrain, Bob jostles in his seat.
You are not on any marked road.
Shut up!
The RV bounds over large rocks jutting up from the dirt. As Bob grips the wheel, he notices a narrow, curving incline ahead.
Whoa.
The RV slows on its way up the hill. Its front tires struggle over a layer of small, sharp rocks.
Come on, turd, keep rolling.
Come on, you can do it.
Come on. The view over Bob's shoulder shows treetops lower below the windshield.
Come on!
Vehicle levels out. Bob slams on the gas. As the RPM gauge rises all the way, the speedometer stays at zero. Bob unbuckles his seatbelt and leans out his window. His eyes widen. The RV balances on the hill's peak. All four tires spin off the ground. Bob warily drops against the steering wheel. The RV rocks a little. Bob looks up. He sits back, hands gripping the wheel, then leans all his weight forward. The RV teeters on the summit. Bob tries again with more force. He tries again and again. The RV barely moves. Bob straightens, then runs to the back and jumps on the bed. The back end bounces a little. Bob races down the hall to the front and jumps between the two seats. The RV rocks a little harder. Bob purses his lips, then opens the door. He holds onto it as it swings all the way out, slamming him against the side of the RV. Gripping the passenger side window, Bob tries to gain footing on a spinning tire. The hapless traveler stretches one leg out to the front bumper, and an arm reaches for the molding around the wide, rectangular windshield. Bob pulls himself to the center of the RV's flat face. He stands up on the bumper, gripping the windshield wipers. The flimsy wipers bend away from the vehicle, and Bob leans way back. He rocks forward, slamming against the windshield. As Bob bends his knees, his weight pulls the front of the RV down. He smiles. He bounces several more times. On the fourth try, the RV's front tires make contact with the ground. Bob's grin quickly droops as the monstrous vehicle starts down the hill. Bob glances over his shoulder, then swings back against the windshield, squeezing his eyes shut.
Make a U-turn at the next legal opportunity.
The RV rockets downhill in the woods.
Dad's gonna be surprised we got back so soon.
Yeah.
His family walks single file along the trail. On Diablo Pass, Bob clings to the wipers as he glances over his shoulder. His body shakes with the speeding RV, and his forehead bangs against the windshield. The RV passes behind his wife and kids.
Who is that maniac?
They peer at the obscuring cloud of trailing dirt. Glancing behind him, Bob gapes. The road ends at a wall of trees. As the RV hits a slight incline, Bob flies off. He crashes through the trees and lands on his back in a clearing. As he sits up, he sees the RV heading straight for him. He lies back and the RV passes over him. As the bike rack clears his head, the RV eases to a stop.
Bob?
Jamie.
Why are you lying on the ground?
Honey, there's something I need to tell you.
He slowly sits up.
I need...
He sees that he's back at the family's campsite.
Needed a little fresh air after my incident.
And how are you now?
Good. Really good, good.
He stands, his clothes sweaty and dirty.
Hello?
Bob Barino, Bobcat?
Yeah?
Teeny tiny wrinkle dinkle. Larry wants you to come back at noon tomorrow and make your pitch to the whole company, all their employees. If the majority want the merger, it's a done deal.
What?
We don't need him. I can do this. Give me another chance. Let me kick this son of a bitch to the uprights.
I'll do it. I'm there.
Great.
Todd faces Laird.
You're spitting on me.
Now the RV cruises past a brilliant vista of the Rockies, stirring up dust in its wake.
Big old rolling turd! Big old rolling turd!
The vehicle halts in a wooded glade near a picnic table. As the door opens, the stairs unfold.
Hey, Dad, maybe we can go to Yellowstone on the way home.
Oh, I'd love to go to Yellowstone.
Yeah, Dad, can't we?
Absolutely. Come on, I want to show you something wonderful.
Now, under blue skies, a vast lake reflects a horizon of colossal gray stone mountains.
Hard to forget this place. My dad was so moved by it, he said, you know, a snack stand up here would do tremendous. My mom always supportive. And who's going to run it, Alan? You? My dad. Why don't you blow it out your big, saggy rear end, Helen? Can't buy memories like that. Or like this.
He regards his family.
Hey, you know, I should take the RV to get the emergency brake fixed before we head to L.A.
Yeah, good idea.
And you guys don't want to hang around some dingy garage. Why don't you wait here by the lake, enjoy the view. I'll drive to Boulder, I'll be back in an hour, and we'll have a big picnic. How about that?
Okay, sounds good. Guys, tell your dad what you wanted to tell him.
Thank you for taking us on this trip.
Can't go then.
Better than Hawaii?
Yeah, better than Hawaii.
Come here and give Big Daddy a hug. Come on.
Wait.
The RV rolls by.
Dad.
Cassie will be in college.
Dad!
What?
The RV's rolling away!
Water splashes up from the lake.
No! Come on, God, no! Oh, no!
Dad, let him go!
As the RV sinks, Bob wades in and tugs on the bumper. Jamie runs after him.
Bob, what are you doing?
She wades to Bob's surfaced head. As she pries him away and herds him ashore, the RV inches underwater.
Are you crazy? It's a rental!
A giant bubble wells up and disperses.
How am I gonna get to the meeting?
What meeting?
The Alpine merger. Sweetheart, you'll never guess what happened yesterday.
You weren't really sick.
Not really.
This is about work.
Mm-hmm.
You brought us out here on vacation because it was close to a business meeting?
You're getting warmer.
The Alpine Soda merger.
Bingo.
So you lied to me from the very beginning.
You mean since we were first married?
No, since when you first brought home the RV.
That time, yeah.
This has nothing to do with you wanting to be with your family.
So you just used us?
You wouldn't understand, Missy.
Oh, I don't know. She's pretty smart. Why don't you explain it to her? And Carl, too.
Kids, life is hard. Not the TiVo in my room is not working hard, but making a living because you're responsible for the people you love hard. You know what it's like to be 50 and people are already digging a hole to bury your career in?
Okay, Bob.
Oh, all right, that's a little rough. You're right. Cassie, where do you want to go to college?
Stanford.
Oh. Carl, where's that camp you're going next week?
Alaska.
Alaska. And you, Princess of Pasadena, how much do you think that little fixer-upper of ours cost?
Who has to ride a $4,000 bicycle?
I have to ride a custom bike because my hips aren't aligned. Are you happy now the kids know that their old man's a freak? Now listen, I have to get to that meeting or I lose my job and we lose a lifestyle. Now let's split up two by two and look for help. Carl, come with me.
I'm good.
Cassie?
Cassie shakes her head. Bob returns his gaze to Jamie. As she shakes her head, Bob responds with a single nod, then smirks.
Adieu.
Bob steps toward the lake. He marches into the water and disappears under the surface. Jamie and the kids gawk after him. A bike helmet breaks the surface, followed by Bob's firm grip on a pair of elongated handlebars. He rides his geeky custom bike right out of the water onto the shore. Jamie stares. Carl and Cassie join her, and all three watch Bob pedal uphill. Reaching the tree line, Bob drops his feet to the ground, scoots his bike into the forest, and rides into the woods. Now, Bob rides onward.
I'll lose my job. Hope the kids like selling fruit on the freeway.
Bob steers around trees. Later, Jamie and the kids amble along a paved road.
You know what's scary is that this is rush hour.
Mom, there's never going to be any other cars on this road. Oh, my God.
They turn to face the approaching Gornicky bus. Later.
Where's your husband? Don't ask. Could you possibly take us to an airport?
Cassie flips through textbooks.
What's all this?
Oh, I gotta study for my super placement test.
Oh, like some sort of vocational training?
College.
How old are you?
15 and a half. I jumped a grade. Moon, though, she skipped two grades.
So, you guys are smart.
Now Bob walks his bike through the woods.
Gonna be unemployed.
I'm gonna have to sell my liver for cash.
Back on the bus.
And then he just rode out of the lake.
Yeah, this one really snuck up and bit me right on a seat meet. I thought Bob was good people.
Does anybody have a vomit bag?
Are you sick?
Big time. Cassie and Earl are making out.
What?
Don't worry, I got him in the rearview mirror. Boy, I don't know what the hell he's doing.
Like father, like son.
Hey!
Listen, I have to admit something. Bob wasn't the only one trying to avoid you. I was too.
Yeah, I don't mean to shock you, but we ain't everybody's cup of sunshine.
Well, it was you, but it was mostly us. You didn't exactly catch the Monroes at their best.
Yeah, see, I had a feeling you was having troubles.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You start off happy and stupid, and then you become associates in the marriage business. Did the plumber come? You take Carl to soccer. I'll pick up your dad from the doctor's office. Until you don't even remember what brought you together in the first place. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. No.
No?
Okay. Anyway, in the last few days, I caught a glimpse of the old us, and I was happy.
I better get directions so I can take you folks where you need to be.
Back in the woods, Bob pedals slowly along a level path and stops, heaving for breath. On the hillside below, a gap in the trees reveals the Gornicky bus parked at a service station. As Jamie, Carl, Billy, and Moon play catch, Cassie chats eagerly with Earl. Jamie grins as she playfully fakes throwing the ball.
Jamie! Cassie! Carl!
Bob aims his bike toward them.
Okay. Oh, God.
He charges downhill. At the bus.
Lady first.
Oh, oh boy.
That's working it.
Meanwhile, Bob bounces downhill.
Listen to her tacking up now. Listen to her whine.
He rides off a steep drop. Both tires land soundly, kicking up a fin of dirt. The bike fishtails at the bottom of the slope. Cresting a low grassy hill, Bob pedals after the departing bus.
GTO, yeah, GTO, yeah, yeah, GTO.
The chase turns onto a road. In the bus, Carl sits with Moon.
The hike was actually so intense, there was a few parts where I had to carry my mom and sister down the hill. I think I might have pulled a muscle.
Where?
In the woods.
Bob pedals furiously, shirt tail flapping. He waves, swerving over the double yellow line, then pedals for the bus's rear-mounted ladder. He grabs a rung with one hand, then the other. His body bridges the distance between the bus and his bicycle. Bob swings his feet to a lower rung, and the bicycle drops away. Bob climbs the ladder.
Gonna save all my money.
Still wearing his dirty bike helmet, Bob reaches the roof.
Get a helmet and a roll, and I'll be ready to go.
Two luggage rails run the length of the wood planked roof. Bob creeps forward, balancing like a surfer.
I'm the coolest thing around.
Bob hits the deck as the bus takes a sharp left turn. Now Bob crawls forward and appears upside down on the windshield.
Jamie!
Travis brakes. Bob's face smacks the glass.
Bob?
Bob falls to the road. As he takes off his helmet, Jamie barges out of the bus.
Are you an idiot? Do you want your children to see their father bouncing down the highway?
What are you doing with the Partridge family?
What are you doing on top of the bus?
Because I was chasing you. You win. I blew off my job because I can't live without you. You happy?
I never asked you to blow off your job. I just wanted you to be honest with me.
Honest? Like Todd's gonna fire me if I go to Boulder honest. Screw Hawaii honest.
Oh, I see. You think that if you told me you were in trouble and your job was in jeopardy, that I'd give you a hard time about it?
No crying. That's cheating.
Do you think I'm some horrible witch that doesn't care? I do care. I care a lot. In fact, I hate you, jerk.
I didn't want you to know I was in trouble. You and Cassie and Carl, you mean everything to me. What you think about me is the most important thing in the world.
Cassie listens closely.
I didn't want to fail.
If you don't know how I feel about you after 19 years of marriage, then I must be a failure as a wife.
Then you admit you're the problem.
Jamie cracks a grin. As he smiles back, Jamie wraps her arms around him. They kiss, then rest their foreheads together.
You mean more to me than just a paycheck.
Well, it's good, because we won't be getting one for a while. I missed that meeting.
No, you didn't.
Mary Jo and Travis smile slyly at him.
Come on, Bob. Come here.
Bob and Jamie follow the Gornickies around the bus, arm in arm. Travis points toward the Alpine Soda sign. Beyond it, the company's brick mansion looms in the sunlight.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Nah, it just sounded like this is where your wife needed to be, so I brought her.
Travis has never been one to mind his own business.
Travis, some of my behavior on this trip might be misconstrued as an insult.
It did come off a tad abrasive.
Well, I was wrong. It takes a small man to admit it. You're a big man. And I don't just mean...
I understand a metaphor, Bob. See, I went to Stanford.
Bob grabs Travis in a headlock.
You big fucking love you! Who loves this big fuck? I love you, you big...
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
A little dramatic, don't you think, Bob? Showing up at the last possible minute. You look horrible. Let's go.
Jamie adjusts her husband's grimy shirt and gives him a warm smile.
Dad?
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Sorry?
I guess you're under a lot of pressure, and I know I could have been less trouble. And in your own nerdy way, you're kind of cool.
Bob. Yeah? I'm hating this.
Bob dutifully follows Todd toward the open gates.
Dad!
Yeah?
I get it.
What?
Sometimes if you want to succeed, you have to just do what they tell you.
Bob halts and squarely faces Cassie, who gives him a frank nod.
Bob!
Todd irritably waves him onward.
This is the big one, Bobcat. Base is loaded.
Got it.
You hit a grand slam on this. It's big raise, promotion, bonus, and I personally push a Laird down a flight of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, this is Bob. Remember, charming and funny?
He faces 50 people in folding chairs.
Sorry I'm late. I just came down that mountain, and next time I'll use a road. I guess you guys didn't get the memo about extreme casual. I love your wilderness so much, I decided to wear it. Easy, Todd. It's been kind of a wild journey getting here. If you ever want to really find out about yourself, put your family in an RV and drive. I've seen some amazing stuff. I've fought wild raccoons and won. I've been in the desert to a place where it's not the end of the world, but you can see it from there, and I met this weird family.
The Gornickies listen.
They were strange. You know, whenever a big white man picks up a banjo, my cheeks tighten. In the dictionary under Hootenanny, it says, see them. You know what's strange about them? They're just honest, good people, and it's an honor to have them as friends.
Bob smiles at them, then points to the Alpine execs.
Harry, Larry, this is a nice company you have here. It's your baby. I bet at the birth of your baby, you were kind of scared, right? Excited, but scared. And you didn't know how it was going to turn out. And next thing you know, it's up and walking, and you're trying to raise it. And sometimes you didn't know what the hell you were doing, but you pretended like you did. And next thing you know, your baby's grown. It's bigger, older, more complicated, difficult to deal with.
Bob looks to his family.
But here's the deal. You care about it just as much because you nurtured it, and part of you's in it, and you're proud of it. Love it more than ever.
Cassie blinks back tears. Jamie smiles proudly at her husband.
And right now, you have to make a decision of whether you want to merge your family with the Pure Vibe family. And I guarantee your stocks are going to split, and you're going to have money you won't know what to do with, and your company's going to grow. You'll be bigger than a woman in bicycle shorts at Disneyland. And you'll be able to get all that stuff, like the ski boat, a $4,000 bike, maybe even a Barca lounger that, you know, massages your ass and blows smoke at the same time. Bottom line here, Gary, Larry, if you want to merge Alpine and Pure Vibe, I promise you, you're making the worst decision of your entire life.
Todd jumps up.
Whoa, this guy is a disgruntled employee. Couldn't keep up with the younger talent. Look at him. He's off his meds. Finished. His own daughter assaulted me in my home.
I did not. It was my friend, and she did it because Pure Vibe has one of the worst environmental records in the industry.
Why are these kids here?
Plus, last year, you guys outsourced for cheaper labor to other countries.
Todd grabs Cassie.
Let her go, Todd.
I'll let her go. I'll let you go. You're fired.
Carl flips Todd onto his back and stands over him with closed fists. He smiles at his dad.
Yo, dog.
Carl. Ah, hero.
Moon beams. Bob steps closer.
Todd, I quit.
On his back, Todd fixes his troubled gaze skyward. The Mastiff sits over his head. Now, the salvaged RV drives a snowy mountain highway. Splotchy mud covers its sides and weeds dangle from the chassis. Sparks fly from an aluminum rowboat wedged under the rear bumper. It dislodges and bounces across the pavement.
Honey, there seems to be snow on the ground.
Babe, it's leftover from last winter. At 9,500 feet, it doesn't melt. It's glacial.
They pass a chains-only sign.
We don't have chains.
Don't need them. They're for the winter, not July.
Well, I see snow.
Hey, Dad, are we poor?
You know, Carl, there's a lot of ways to measure a family's wealth. I think a family's love...
I was talking about money.
We're dirt poor.
Why don't we sell the house?
Yeah, we could all live in the big rolling tour to be homeschooled.
Yeah, we'll spend every minute together, just like the Gornickies.
That just sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
A police car pulls up behind them.
Chains. Four-wheel drive.
Later, Bob slides open his window.
Oh, sir, good day. I know what you're going to say. Where are your chains? Well, sir, this is no ordinary RV. Part ATV, part SUV, and certified by the DMV. It's got positive traction, Dynaflow, pretty much control traction with me in control. It's got heated rims. Wish I had those.
The state trooper stares rigidly with a wrinkled brow.
Okay. License and registration, sir.
As Bob opens an overhead compartment, water pours out, drenching him. He finds a shriveled piece of yellow paper.
Oh, there it is.
He shakes it and peeks through a hole in its center.
I believe that was the rental agreement. We had a little bit of a mishap at the lake. I lost my wallet. My name is Bob Monroe, and,
we got him. We're just ahead of you.
Got me?
Now outside the RV.
Officer, I know she may look unsafe, but she's tough. She likes to be rode hard and put away wet.
Yeah, she spent 2 days in the lake, and they had to fish her out.
It means a lot to us. We couldn't abandon it.
Yeah, it's like a big ugly pet, really.
Larry and Gary arrive.
You got him. Thanks, Sam. We owe you one.
We've been chasing you all morning, Bob.
I just took one soda.
No, we just want you to know we're going national.
Well, good luck.
With you? We want you to join us at Alpine Beverages.
You offer me a job?
Yeah.
Yes, he'll take it.
She's a tough negotiator.
You just really seem to get us, like a harmonic convergence.
Dad, you forgot something.
Baby, don't interrupt Daddy's handsome new bosses, okay?
Sure, but the RV's rolling away.
Bob turns as the RV rolls off of the now flattened squad car and the Alpine exec's car. His trembling lips form a weak smile. A credit, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. Now dressed in flashy country western clothes, Travis plays guitar beside his wife on a stage. The Gornicky kids dance behind them.
You ever planned to mow the west? Travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Your kids on Route 66.
Bob and Jamie dance beside them.
It winds from Chicago to L.A. More than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route 66. Go to St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma City is mighty pretty.
The wives step forward together. Carl steps between them.
When you make bust break that shake, Cadillac trick.
Boy.
Get kicks with the hits out of room.
Cassie struts forward.
Oh, you get hip to this time of ten.
Bucks you up, bucks you up.
Can you make that Cadillac for your trip?
Bucks you up, bucks you
gotta
up.
Gotta get your kicks on Route 66.
Closes on Mary Jo's gleaming smile. Credits. Written by Jeff Rodkey. Produced by Lucy Fisher and Douglas Wick. Executive producers Bobby Cohen and Ryan Cavanaugh. Co-producer Graham Place. Director of photography Fred Murphy, ASC. Production designer Michael Bolton. Editor Kevin Tent, ACE. Music by James Newton Howard. Music supervision by Randall Poster. Costume designer Mary E. Voigt. Casting by Rona Kress, CSA. Robin Williams, Jeff Daniels, Cheryl Hines, Kristen Chenoweth, Joanna Jojo Levesky, Josh Hutcherson, Will Arnett, Hunter Parrish, Brendan Fletcher, Rob LaBelle, Brian Markinson, a Barry Sonnenfeld film. Cast, Robin Williams as Bob Monroe, Cheryl Hines as Jamie Monroe, Joanna Jojo Levesky as Cassie Monroe, Josh Hutcherson as Carl Monroe, Jeff Daniels as Travis Gornicky, Kristen Chenoweth as Mary Jo Gornicky, Hunter Parrish as Earl Gornicky, Chloe Sonnenfeld as Moon Gornicky, Alex Ferris as Billy Gornicky, Will Arnett as Todd Mallory, Tony Hale as Frank, Brian Howe as Marty, Richard Cox as Laird, Erica Shane Gare as Cassie, age 5, Veronica Zopa as Gretchen, Rob LaBelle as Larry Moyfine, Brian Markison as Gary Moyfine, Kristen Williamson as Tammy, Brendan Fletcher as Howie, Matthew Gray Gubler as JoJo, Stephen E. Miller as Oregon Stew Guy, Malcolm Scott as Kenny, Deborah DeMille as Dump Lady, Chad Krawchuk as Scruffy Teenager, Kai Olson as Diablo Pass Officer, Bruce McPhee as Independence Pass Officer, Rebecca Irwin Spencer as Waitress, Giacomo Bassetto, Justin Chartier, Andrew Botts as Hip Hop Wannabes, Barry Sonnenfeld as Irv. Stunt coordinators, Scott Apte, Owen Wallstrom. Unit production manager, associate producer, Warren Carr. Unit production manager, Graham Place. First assistant director, associate producer, second assistant director, Joanna Moore. IMF producer, Matthias Dale. IMF executive producers, Aslan Nadri, Volker Schautz. IMF line producers, Dan Mag, Philip Schultz-Dale. Art director, Kelvin Humminy. Music, A World in Crisis, written by Josh Kessler, John Martinez, and Richard J. Reed, performed by Filthy Rich. Gangsta Protocol, written by Josh Kessler, George White, and Jesse Shackin, performed by Green. Showtime, written by Chaim Zinovich and Tomer Baran, performed by Zeno and Tommy. GTO, written by John Buck Wilkin, performed by Ronnie and the Daytonas. White Boys, written by Mike Kumaji and Brian Mahoney. Cherry Bomb, written by Kim Fowley and Joan Jett. Shake, 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 Shake Your Booty, written by Harry Wayne Casey and Richard Finch, performed by Casey and the Sunshine Band. Stand By Your Man, written by Billy Sherrill and Tammy Wynette, performed by Tammy Wynette. Honky Tonk Town, written by Hank Thompson, James Zubalaki, Ralph Bebo, and Henry Ogg Jr., performed by Hank Thompson. Buckaroo, written by Bob Morris, performed by Buck Owens and his Buckaroos. Star Trek Theme, written by Alexander Courage. Never Ending Song of Love, written by Delaney Bramlett, performed by Delaney and Bonnie and Friends. Your Mama Don't Dance, written by Kenny Loggins and James Messina. Needles and Pins, written by Sonny Bono and Jack Nitschke, performed by Jackie DeShannon. Oh, Susanna, written by Stephen Foster. Dixie, I Wish I Wasn't Dixie, written by Daniel DeCooter Emmett. GTO, written by John Buck Wilkin, produced by David O'Donnell and Lyle Lovett, performed by Lyle Lovett. Route 66, written by Bobby Troop. Copyright 2006, IMF International, Medien und Film, GmbH, and Company 3 Productions KG, all rights reserved. IMF International, Medien und Film, GmbH, and Company 3 Productions KG is the author of this film, motion picture, for the purpose of copyright and other laws. The characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious, and any similarity to the name, character, or history of any person is entirely coincidental and unintentional. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to the provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.